Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What they on? All steroids and no carbs. They're the thick ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour two, and on time on a Monday.
Take that, boss.
Yeah, with no sports.
Boom. Maybe that's the key to being on time.
Yeah, it's we don't really have anything to talk about.
Four hours of Club 1080.
Coming up here, we've got Stockwatch, I think. Mike, did you do a Stockwatch? Mike did a Stockwatch.
He's
isn't
nodding.
That great?
Look, it's radio and he's just nodding to us. Again, not the best in the business for nothing.
That Mike.
Yeah.
Such a showman.
He dialed in.
Both beautiful. My hands were in use. I couldn't press the on button.
I bet they were.
What else? Oh, in the news, 4:30, your local coronavirus update.
There you go.
I would like to tell you that good news is coming, but it's not really. April's been canceled.
Yeah. We're in it for a while.
So no April. We're just going to skip straight to May and see if that works.
Hey, we're going
to
be here, though, for you all through April.
You're damn right.
At least that's what they're telling me now.
You know what they told us today? Actually, someone else told us.
Yeah.
That all the other shows at Intercom nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Are doing shows from their homes.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the courage that you and I display by coming here
every day.
Although Mike's in his own quarantine studio.
Yeah, he's his own little bubble.
And so is Souk. He's right over there in that new studio that we're supposed to be using.
Yes, we're all in three separate studios, and no way are me and Rob sharing a studio. That's not happening.
And I was like, well, you know, I mean, I guess we could do the show from home, but I don't really want to.
No, it's a bit awkward, quite frankly.
I want to get out of the house.
And you get to come here and actually spend 4 hours doing something instead of sitting at on your couch all day.
Sure. It makes me get dressed.
Now, I will tell you
take a shower.
Since we've started this, I don't know what day we're on of the quarantine shows, I've yet to wear pants to work, and I don't plan on doing it anytime soon.
Yeah, I love that about you.
Yeah, I'm going no pants and basically just like workout clothes. Why get dressed? There's no reason to look presentable.
Yeah, no, not for me.
No, I mean... And that's that. No,
we're not on TV anymore.
Now, when they say the
not
rest,
not that mattered.
No, now the when they say the rest, like even the other sports shows, or is it just we're the only ones?
I don't know if we're the only ones, but
I know locally here in Portland, I was talking to Greg Glover, and he said starting Tuesday he's doing the show from home, and he's like, "What about you guys?" I'm like, "No one's told me squat."
Wait, Greg Glover's spinning the hits from home?
Yes. Well, starting tomorrow.
How does he do that?
I don't know any of that works.
Does he have remote, access to the computers?
I would like to believe that there's some sort of setup. I mean, maybe that's what today was for. Today was the learning game.
I want
to
take over KGON for a day.
Yeah?
They should give me remote access to KGON and I'll program it for
a day. Oh, Rob, all the time.
I'd play some rock, man.
Well, I think that's kind of the whole
point. You got another thing coming.
Yeah, but they had Twisted Sister on there the other day.
Well, that's classic rock.
Nah,
are you going to take a steamer on Twisted Sister right now?
On KGON.
I want to rock. How dare you?
Yes. That should not be on KGON.
Well, I'm not going to take this, and we're not going to take this. Well, that is classic rock.
No, it isn't.
Rob,
yes,
as we keep going into the future, more music counts as classic rock.
I understand that. I'm not an idiot.
That's ridiculous.
But
look, I've got an empty can of Lysol, and I'm thinking about throwing it at you, but I can't. Because remember, I'm in the other studio and not in the same studio with you per regulations. But if I was in the same studio, I'd throw this can of Lysol at you.
Well, anyways, we love coming to work.
Yes.
And we're partying. Now, a quick sports note.
Sports.
This from Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports.
Yeah.
He says the discussion over what was once was thought to be a slam dunk, which is an additional year of eligibility for college athletes participating in spring sports.
Yeah, they were supposed to vote on it today. I don't know if that's still going down.
Yeah, but they were. And I guess back east, or are they in the Midwest? Are they in Kansas City or Indy?
Who's
the NCAA?
That would be Indianapolis.
I thought they moved to, or maybe they used to be in Kansas City. Anyway, we haven't seen anything today at all, but I guess it's gone sideways. According to one Power 5 athletic director speaking to Dennis Dodd, and he says that source is not alone in that view, which comes a day before the NCAA council could vote on the issue that emerged after the cancellation of the NCAA tournament. One day after the tournament was canceled, the NCAA council coordination committee released a statement saying eligibility relief is appropriate for all Division I student athletes who participated in spring sports. At the time, that statement was interpreted by many as formally granting an additional year of eligibility for athletes in baseball, golf, men's volleyball, lacrosse, rowing, softball, tennis, track, and water polo.
Yes.
It was also interpreted as a common sense resolution by the sometimes slow-moving NCAA, but they have to formally adopt that measure, and apparently S has hit the fan. And there's a couple of things going on. Let me pull this up here real quick. Don't mind me.
Searching.
Gotta go to a different page.
And by the way, as far as cost goes, because there's a lot that goes into this. This isn't just a...
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Like, what is...
They're saying that per... And it's going to change, obviously, from school to school. But they said, on average, I read somewhere between $600,000 and $1 million per Power 5 school. And... again, depending on what your tuition is, cost of living, all that stuff, some of that stuff changes a bit. But that's what you're looking at. And then obviously you're getting into, you know, who has graduate degrees and what does that cost? But yeah, let's just go ahead and split the difference and say a cool $750,000 per school.
Okay, so here are a couple of notes. In a perfect world, MAC Commissioner John Steinbrecher said it'd be easy. Give all athletes impacted 4 full seasons of competition, but there are operational questions that raise new financial issues. If you're expanding the roster, do you have enough locker rooms? Do you have enough lockers in your locker room for all of them? Do you need to hire more athletic trainers, academic advisors, or nutritionists? Those are all key logistical questions in addition to the big one, increasing the financial aid commitment.
Yeah, because remember, they're talking about not only doing it for the spring athletes, but trying to do it for the winter ones that didn't get a chance to finish, and so that would include basketball. And supposedly what I read today was that the initial belief is about 85% of the student athletes that would be eligible for this would take the extra year, and that would go work towards a graduate degree. Most of that is, again, most of these athletes aren't going to go professional. And so the idea of going back and getting an extra year towards your graduate degree is probably a little bit better, and getting to compete for another year that you got taken away from you, as opposed to entering a pretty tough job market right now, which, again, is not something that most people think about. But again, if you're like a basketball player and you're like, okay, I'm not going to go play professionally, or you're a baseball player and Major League Baseball isn't in your future. All right, I got to graduate. You know, I graduated now. Good luck finding a job, right? And so they said that they think that the vast majority of them will come back. And that does raise concerns from financially, and then, again, what do you do with the rosters? Because you have a whole group of kids that are coming in.
Yeah, it's really complicated.
It's not as easy as just saying, hey, this is fair, everyone get it. You know, so in theory, it should, you just wave the magic wand and you roll it back, but it doesn't work like that. And this is the same reason
they did vote on it today. The spring athletes are getting an extra year.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it just happened like 10 minutes ago. It was in my update.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we were just saying, look at Mike. Unbelievable. Not even paying attention to the show, but then he checks in and he's like, wait a minute, you guys, they voted.
So the spring athletes, did they say anything about the winter ones?
They were not included in the announcement.
Okay, so
for now, winter athletes are not getting an extra year of eligibility.
But the spring athletes, as far as, so that would be baseball, volleyball, yes, all that.
That's great.
They're pushed through. And so I guess they'll just figure out the details at another
time.
They
said each school is going to be responsible for figuring out like the food and housing costs that they're going to give to these players. That's not going to come from the NCAA. And yeah, they're basically, I think this could, I'm not sure if this is exactly correct, but I think they were saying that they're basically just going to give each school an extra scholarship they can use for this specific player. It won't bump freshmen off. It'll just be like a, yeah, hey, we'll turn away and just let you have this many people.
They have to figure out the financial aid element when you're carrying more players,
yeah, and
more scholarships.
And they said the Ohio States and the Floridas of this world, you know, that won't be a big deal. But they said you get down to schools where, you know, budgets are a little tighter, whether it's the lower Power Five schools or, more importantly, like the MAC schools and the Mountain West and some of the schools like that, this is going to be a bigger deal. And it may take a little bit to, you know, kind of work all that out.
And that's what Dennis Dodd was saying. He was saying that the subject had become so complicated that they were going to postpone the vote.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Is
they did not.
No, so I guess they just went ahead with it. And
they did agree that the winter sports guys are screwed.
Yeah.
So they just don't feel like they can do that logistically. So they're out. But, baseball and all those other sports I mentioned.
Yeah.
They're getting another year of eligibility.
Well, again,
I think that's good.
I think it's the right thing to do. It's going to be an issue, but they'll figure it out. I'm just saying that there'll be some bumps along the road. I promise you at some point we'll have a discussion on this, and some schools are going to be complaining or asking for help from the NCAA to try to offset the cost. And remember too, that the NCAA is handing out a lot less money this year than they normally do because of the cancellation of the tournament.
Yeah. But I don't feel bad.
No, you don't feel bad. They'll
work
it out.
They got monies.
Well, and then the scary thing is, too, is that let's throw some added costs on the athletic budget here. Imagine if college football ends up being affected, because then, you know, the NCAA tournament, the basketball tournament, is where the NCAA gets all their money. And college football is how the individual universities get all their money. So if college football, remember, Kurt Herbstreit came out and said that he doesn't think that college football is going to get played. So if you eliminate a good chunk of the NCAA's money and then you have college football either canceled or significantly affected as far as the revenue that can be recouped this year, now you're talking about a serious budgetary crisis. And you've already added on by saying that the winter sports, which are not money generating sports, by the way, can go ahead and grant extra years of eligibility.
Somebody brings up a good point. What if you're a dual sport player, baseball and football? And then you get another year because you're a baseball player, and then you just play football.
I'm guessing that's going to be a no countsies. Because then it doesn't quite work that way.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Although it's kind of fun to think about.
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah. But again,
skirt the rules.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
All of a sudden, the baseball team has like 50 guys on it. Like, what? You didn't play baseball.
That's an Alabama thing, I guarantee it, right? All the Alabama fifth-year seniors, they're coming back to play baseball all of a sudden.
Yeah, they're on the baseball team now.
Like, why is that guy 6'7", 325, and he's playing shortstop? Look, don't ask questions, all right?
Great little player.
He's got a great glove. Lot of range.
All right, coming up next, it is our Primetime Stock Watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports. 413 on The Fan.
It's Primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, in the news coming up next, we've got the latest on COVID-19 in Oregon and Clark County, major economic relief efforts in Portland, and some modeling to talk about. That's what we like to discuss here, modeling. Yeah, very confused on that NCAA issue, but the blanket vote has happened. Extra eligibility for spring college athletes has been granted.
And someone asking, do only seniors get the extra year of eligibility, or could it ripple down for years? As far as I know, my understanding of it is
it's everyone. Yeah. That's why they're talking about expanding the rosters.
Yeah. So if you're a sophomore, you know, and you're a baseball player, this isn't your sophomore year. You're just able to.
Well, basically, just think about it this way. The next time you play,
yeah,
it's just putting pause on things.
Yeah, it's like if you go on a church mission, right? Like, maybe that doesn't relate to anyone other than me, but like at BYU, when you go on a mission, your clock pauses, or military service, right? We had a couple of those over the years that if you sign up for the National Guard or whatever, you just hit pause on your eligibility. When you come back, you hit play, and they're basically doing that.
Yep. So if you were getting ready to start, or they just started the baseball season, right? So they had played some games. All the Oregon State kids, the next time they start, which is probably going to have to be this time next year.
Yeah.
Or a little prior to, they don't lose a year of eligibility. They pick up right where they left off.
And it's your choice. You can be done if you want to. But again, the article I read today said that they're expecting about 85% of those athletes that are eligible to choose to come back for another year, and they can pursue a graduate program and all that. And it's up to the schools to figure out how to do that financially.
All right, here's Mike.
With regard to the regular season, there haven't been any real concrete contingency plans discussed. They're talking about the offseason. Offseason programs were scheduled to start for some teams next week. Obviously, that's not going to happen. They're talking about the draft, what that's going to be like with no one being able to be together in person. And they're talking about the possibility of, you know, when would training camps start and how would you be able to get all the players into one space at a time, what the world will look like a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, etc.
There is Dan Graziano talking about the NFL not really having much of a contingency plan yet for if we get to the point where the season will be threatened. But buy or sell, we are at over 50% chance of not having an NFL season this year.
Over a 50%?
Mm-hmm.
I'll sell it. I think you're at 50-50. I mean, honestly, at this point, I think it's a coin flip. I think they're going to play it. I do. I think college football and college sports way more in danger than the NFL. The NFL has just chosen to plow ahead with this, right? They're not delaying jack squat. They're already putting up rules for what you could do as far as teleconference goes in order to get guys draft eligible, like have meetings. The NFL will do everything in its power to find some way to get on the field, even if that means playing in front of no fans. So that's why I say above 50%. No, the NFL will find a way. If you ask me about the college game, yeah, I feel a lot more iffy about that than I do the NFL.
I'm going to sell it only because I'm holding out hope that we're going to get that magical fall of all sports at once.
Yeah.
Like we're going to get all the golf majors get pushed off to the fall. You get the NBA going, the MLB, the NFL, college football. I don't think that's going to happen. As a matter of fact, my gut tells me I should buy this and say that it's probably not going to happen at all. None of it.
Yeah.
I think it all could be going away for a while. But I hold out hope, and I remain an optimist. So plus, I just want all that sports in the fall.
Yeah, positive vibes out there.
So
sell it.
So suck that one, Lynch.
In the last three seasons, Carson Wentz QBR averages fifth. In the last three seasons, Aaron Rodgers 18th. In the last three seasons, when Carson starts and when Aaron starts, they averaged 26 points on offense under Carson Wentz. They averaged 23 points of offense under Aaron Rodgers. In the last three seasons, Carson Wentz is better on third down. He's got a better touchdown percentage, better points per drive. Aaron Rodgers, the only thing that he has done better in the last 3 years than Wentz is not turned the football over. But by every metric, by every way we want to measure their performances over the last 3 years, Carson Wentz has played better than Aaron Rodgers.
There is Dan Orlovsky.
Whoa.
And he is
fired
from his house.
From his house, clearly, because there's a loud echo. Hot takes now dominating ESPN as they try to create their own content.
Wait, ESPN's still on?
Yes. Yeah. And he is saying Carson Wentz is better than Aaron Rodgers and has a lot of facts to try to prove that point. So buy or sell, Carson Wentz is better than Aaron Rodgers.
How many people do you think are asking if we're still on?
Well, hopefully not ones that are listening to us.
Isaac and Suker still on?
Oh, yeah, spread the word. We're still here. We're not going anywhere.
What?
Carson Wentz greater than Aaron Rodgers, according to Dan Orlovsky.
And so I have to buy or sell that he is?
You've got to buy or sell.
Yes.
No, so Jesus.
Not just a no.
He made a lot of good points in his argument.
Like Orlovsky, but come on. If he's saying Carson Wentz is better than Aaron Rodgers, that's ridiculous. No, if he's saying Carson Wentz played better than Aaron Rodgers at times. Well, sure, a lot of quarterbacks play better than Aaron Rodgers at times. Aaron Rodgers is like top three guy in the league.
Yeah, I think
Carson Wentz is not.
And some of this too, I think you look at the offenses that are playing in and the talent that's around them in Philadelphia, though, you know, last year Philadelphia had literally no one left. It was a gall darn mash unit. But Carson Wentz is good, and Carson Wentz is a decade younger than Aaron Rodgers. Remember, Aaron Rodgers is, what, 36, 37 years old? The best of Aaron Rodgers is certainly behind him. So if you were to ask me the question, who would I take going forward, Carson Wentz or Aaron Rodgers, I'll take Carson Wentz. But if you're asking me who I want for one season, I'm still taking Aaron Rodgers, because I think sometimes you can say that's like the whole, like, Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson, right? Everything around you being equal, but it's not equal. So again, if you told me that I had to play one year with one quarterback and my choices were Carson Wentz or Aaron Rodgers, despite what his numbers say, and by the way, the numbers are pretty close. Like, if you look, I've got their stat lines in front of me. And then,
not according to what Dan Orlovsky said.
Well, he said that Carson Wentz's are better. But again, if you look at completion percentage, you look at touchdowns, you look at quarterback rating, again, there's not a huge gap between the two of them. I'll still take Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think there is. But I will take Aaron Rodgers, just because I just think his ability to make plays, just the more improvised part of football, which we love now, right? Like, yeah, backyard football, like Pat Mahomes, just scramble around and make a play. Yeah. That's the new OC. I could be an OC in the NFL.
Could you?
Yeah.
You run the touchdown play.
Like, hey, give me a good quarterback, and I'll tell the quarterback, hey, buy time, and everybody does backyard football and just runs around and just find an open guy. What's the matter with you? That's what Pat Mahomes does.
And by the way, that whole, like, not
Aaron Rodgers does that way better than Wentz. Wentz, look, I think Wentz is really good, but he needs more help.
Well, he needs people to not get hurt.
You know? That's he got hurt in the playoffs against the Seahawks, but
everyone, like
their offense is, I don't know. Their offense looked way better a couple years ago.
By injury.
You know, you already have Mickey Arison, who is the owner of the Miami Heat, who owns Carnival Cruises. Now, granted, Carnival Cruises has been going through some challenging times as of late with some of the cruise ships and what they've been dealing with. But I think if the NBA, if you are trying to find a way, if this happens in May or June, if we're still not in that great, great place, but maybe we're in a better place, maybe if you can take two of those massive cruise ships and there's testings before everybody goes on the ship, you allow the player and their immediate family, being that wife or their kids, are allowed to go with them. And you have an Eastern Conference cruise ship and you have a Western Conference cruise ship.
There's Jay Williams on ESPN. I'm just going to go ahead and say, buy or sell, that's the dumbest idea you've ever heard.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. I mean, dumbest
idea. Let's put people in a spot that has been a hotbed for the coronavirus spreading.
Yeah, maybe he's
just make sure that they don't have the virus.
Yeah, maybe he's watching too much Pirates of the Caribbean. They're going to go set sail to the island of Tortuga or whatever with Captain Jack. Yeah, that does seem a bit ridiculous.
Somebody watch that this weekend to have that reference at hand.
Totally.
Actually, no.
You watch that.
I was listening to the Lonely Island song. They do the Tale of Captain Jack Sparrow, which it's not a bad idea to put Lonely Island. That's Adam Sandler and his group. They have
Andy Samberg.
Yeah, Andy Samberg. Yeah, not Adam Sandler. But yeah, this is ridiculous. This is so
What's going on with the ESPN?
Very dumb. Well, you've got nothing.
You just
got
to make stuff up.
You just got to make stuff up, right? It was at FS1, Skip Bayless and Sharp were debating LeBron James and Michael Jordan again.
Well, at least that's a legitimate sports debate.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Really? That's all they do anymore. He just goes on there and yells about LeBron.
There's nothing going on.
Hey, let's put him on a cruise ship. Great idea, Jay. Brilliant. Jesus.
Somebody said, who is the guy that was mentioning... He was one of those, like the Ringer, Bleacher Report, or something, was saying the NBA should take over Vegas because all of the hotels are empty. So each team could have its own hotel. You could each guy could get his own room.
Lakers versus who gets like the stratosphere though? Is that like the worst? Like,
I think you get it by your record.
Yeah, you get to pick. So like someone's going to be at the Kings are going to be at Terrible's Casino, off the strip.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the stupid Warriors would be out at freaking Hooters. Or something.
Planet Hollywood.
And then just let them all play the rest of the season there. There's nobody there.
You could play like the Thomas and Mack Center or whatever.
And then somebody comes down with COVID and then it's all hell breaks loose.
Imagine if it happened on a cruise ship though, because we've seen that.
Well, then that you can just leave out in the water.
Oh, yeah.
Let them die.
You're fine.
That's what they do now, right?
LeBron's got his own helicopter swooping in. Because, you know, that's what's going to work is LeBron's going to agree to be quarantined on a ship for like a month and a half. Great idea.
All right.
I'm assuming you... Oh, I have one more.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming you bought that, Rob, because you didn't say by yourself.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
To be completely honest, the iRacing software that we use is the best, most realistic that you'll find. And they don't pay me a cent. I've been using that software, though, for 20 years. And it is as close as I will ever get to the real thing. And I should know. I mean, there's a lot of the race car drivers out there that competed today and use the service and would say the same thing. I've used it in my career to get better.
That's Dale Jr. If you don't recognize his voice, he's been out of sports for a little while. But Fox Sports 1 aired live iRacing with real NASCAR racers driving the virtual cars this weekend. It's the second week in a row that they've done it. Buy or sell, while we're dealing with the pandemic, the other leagues should have pro athletes playing the virtual games and they should be showing it on TV.
No. No, I don't want to watch Damian Lillard play NBA 2K. I don't. That's stop it. Go away.
Well, I'll be better.
The iRacing broadcast looked like a real broadcast if you turn it on.
I hear it's pretty cool. I don't really care about NASCAR, but I don't think I'd watch it. But I think there's probably a market for it. Don't you? Particularly NBA. Isn't the NBA like a big video game?
Yeah.
NBA 2K is huge.
Unfortunately, yeah. There's no like. Who the hell knows if LeBron James is good at NBA 2K? It's
You would find out pretty quick.
Yeah, brush
you?
Up, LeBron. Let's go.
The difference is like with the NASCAR race, right? You're in a racing simulator. There's no such thing as an NBA simulator.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't.
What is that Explain the iRacing thing.
They have these simulators,
and they all have them at their houses. The real drivers.
They're either at their houses or at their company headquarters, and they do it like with pilots do this, right? Like if you're in the military, there's flight simulators.
Well, right, but they're racing. They're yes. They're doing an actual race where the actual drivers
are
simulating
simulators.
Their cars in
yes.
the race,
yes.
and they're broadcasting the
iRacing. Yes, with real announcers.
That is
and they're,
awesome.
They're treating it as a real race.
Now, super cool.
iRacing. As far as I know, doesn't require you to have a crazy great setup like all these drivers are for these specific races. I think you can just have a racing wheel and you could do it too. It's just a super realistic simulator for all sorts of racing.
But it doesn't work on other sports because you're not simulating them. You're just playing a video game.
Yeah, but you don't think people would sit and watch freaking LeBron James and Kevin Durant play NBA 2K?
Of course
I think they would
watch that. And the trash talk. And
I think they would. I would. I don't care.
Because MLB Twitter was having a couple of players play each other on MLB The Show this weekend. And, they had both their face cams up.
Look,
and it
man,
was just kind of, it was interesting.
Dude, if the only thing going on right now were freaking high school sports, I'd watch it.
No, you wouldn't.
Well, you're
that's a lie.
You're right. I
that's
wouldn't.
100%
but
a lie.
If there's ever a chance to get me to watch high school
now's
sports,
the time.
It would be now, because it's just man, we're all starved for sports.
Yeah.
But so I think people would watch, but at the same time, you know, call me when the real thing starts up.
There you go.
That's our Stock Watch. It's brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE, phone questions answered at no charge. We'll get you the latest on COVID coming up next here on the local level with In the News. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 437 on The Fan. I was talking about Dan Orlovsky. You know, we played that clip of him in Stockwatch.
Yeah.
Have you been, I don't know how much news you're watching. Like I try to limit my news intake, but I do on the daily want, you know, the latest. And
sure.
So I go online or on TV, watch CNN or whatever you watch. Everybody's broadcasting from home. Isn't that kind of a fun little added twist?
Yeah. I'll
you get to see, you get to see like I've spent more time evaluating the, where people are broadcasting from than I do what they're saying. Like I'm looking back and trying to see what books they had. Cause usually they set up in like from a home office or something.
Yeah. Like they were doing the, there was a concert, like for, you know, for food or whatever. I don't know. It was like some sort of like fundraiser, to, I think it was to feed people last night. And they were doing artists from like their living room. Like Tim McGraw did his from his swimming pool. Mm. He went out and like sat on his diving board. Like his dogs were running around him. And then like Dave Grohl did his from a studio. And
yeah, see, so,
like,
I love that.
Yeah, it's I'm with you on that. There
you
is
get
a lot
to see
of, like,
where they live.
You're like, hey, what's going on? Like Kurt Herbstreit, like, but some of them have like home studios because Herbie does that during the regular season anyways.
He's yeah.
And he's got like the big helmet set up. So you can tell the people that have a nice setup and then the others that are just like, hey, this is my garage. I don't know.
Yeah, or their office. I saw one gal from her bedroom on CNN.
Really?
Yeah. I think she wanted to show off how nice her bedroom was.
Well,
it was pretty nice.
You would think that if you were doing that, right? Like if they went to the Rop household.
I've thought about that a million times.
Where would you set up? You'd want it to be like the most impressive or like with something cool in the background, right?
No, I would actually, my main consideration would be to not give away anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, just like a plain white wall or whatever. You just have like a sheet.
Yeah. Guess where I am, huh? Yeah. I don't know. Very private.
Interesting.
But right now we don't even have a house. Like I'd have to broadcast from the park.
Oh yeah. Cause you're
homeless.
You're doing like an extended stay, right? Aren't you renting something?
Yeah.
Or?
We got a remodel project that's still going on and we're not in our house. We're like an Airbnb. Ugly walls.
I would do the fireplace setup.
You would judge me.
Would
judge me because this place has really ugly paint colors.
Shame on you.
And my wife and I were just talking about it the other day, like we were sitting there on the couch watching something and I was like, have you ever noticed how ugly the walls are? It's awful.
You would have to do some sort of like setup where you'd get something like hanging in the background to try to be like the focal point.
I don't know what I would do.
Go get like a nice chair or something and try to set it up. I feel like I have a
hang a portrait of me.
There you go. Like all like a regal bust or something.
Yeah. I've got a picture of me with it, my ascot when I wore that on CSN.
Oh, there you go.
I'll set up in front of that.
Just do that.
Purpose
because
pitch.
Nothing says pompous a-hole like a like a picture of yourself in the background. I have a good fireplace set up at my place.
Oh, there you go.
There's like
is it a real one?
What do you mean?
Real fireplace?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like all it's right. And it's not like a gas.
Because you can't set up in front of one of those gas ones.
No, it's a real fireplace. But like I've got like a couple chairs and then there's like a cow skin rug and then you know like a table in the middle with like a plant. It's like a decent. That's the only place.
A lot of humble brags going on here. You got plants and everything.
Yeah, I got a plant. Well,
I don't have any plants.
It's not my plant. Remember someone brought me a bonsai tree last year.
How's that doing?
It's doing okay. I haven't killed it yet. So it's sitting in the middle there. And I'd like to think that I would do one of those. Like it's some sort of sophistication, hey, look at me. I've got a fireplace.
I haven't watched any of the sports channels or anything, but I've been watching the news channels and all their experts chime in from home and it's great. I just like to see where they're like what kind of paint color they have. And
you would
assume
like some of the big ones, like, you know, it's going to be
really nice.
It's going to be really nice.
Yeah. You can't really tell too much.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes you're like, ooh, interesting.
Look at that.
All right. It is March 30th, 2020. It's time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. Today is National Doctor's Day.
Oh.
So shout out to all you stud doctors out there doing...
And nurses and every other
guy. No, just doctors.
Just doctors. The rest of you, nuts to you. But yeah, it's...
We like to make fun of doctors and their egos, but seriously, there's a lot of them doing a lot of brave work.
Well, and let's be honest, without them, we'd all be in a world
that's right.
Right now.
That's right. We should appreciate them.
Yes.
This is what they've been saying in their own heads for years. And now we get it.
Finally, you get a smack on the back.
Aren't it is I, also...
Isn't it like at 8 o'clock or something you're supposed to go outside and like bang some pots or something for them?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock?
And they've done that the last three nights in Portland.
Okay.
And it has been quite rousing.
Oh, all right.
Although I haven't participated.
You don't
want
to be roused?
I saw the videos of it.
Well, I give an attaboy to all the doctors and every other medical professional out there. God bless you.
It is also National I Am In Control Day. So keep telling yourself that.
Yeah, of what? Come on, God's green earth are you in control of?
Now, 548 cases of COVID-19 in Oregon. We still only have 13 deaths. That is 13 too many. But I say only because that is a small number compared to some other areas.
Yeah.
No new deaths as of yesterday. 28 states have more confirmed cases than Oregon. And the state with the fewest cases... Remember when we were talking about West Virginia having zero?
Yeah, and then like while we were talking about it, that day they reported their first one.
The lowest is actually the lowest count is in Wyoming.
Oh.
They only have 87 cases.
Well, I think that's because they only have like 104 people in that state.
In Wyoming.
And wouldn't it make sense? I've seen more and more stuff where they're saying that this may... Again, all the information is fluid, but a lot of the medical experts are saying that this may end up not being like a national thing. It's going to be more of a hotspot thing. And obviously, the more congested the area in major cities and stuff, that it's right. You may see it flare up. But the Wyomings of the world, the Dakotas or places like that, may not see anything to the level that you're seeing in LA or Seattle or New York.
But you can easily, anybody can easily become a hotspot.
Yes, if you just put your head up your keister.
Yeah, if we don't practice our social distancing, which I'm getting quite good at. What else do we have here now? 20 new cases in Clark County. That total is now at 110. So there's 548 in Oregon, all of Oregon, and there are 110 in Clark County. Does that make you scared?
You know what? I'm trying not to do the fear-monger thing.
How many? Well, it's not fear-mongering. It's how many cases do we need to get before we really go, whoa, it's happening here really bad, and we're like New York, right? Well, like, at what point? Because New York City is terrifying.
Sure.
What's going on there?
Sure. I just, like, what?
How we're just lucky it hasn't happened here
yet.
You
said 20 in Clark County, right?
Well, no, 110.
110.
20 new ones.
20 new ones. It's roughly, what, 500,000 people? So I'm just trying to keep it in perspective. That my chances of getting it are very, very low. And so I'm trying to be cautious, right? I'm doing everything that they're telling me to do. But at the same time, I'm trying not to freak out my kids. I'm trying to stay calm and measured and say that from a statistical standpoint, I still have a lot greater chance of having something horrific happen to me that isn't this. So I just keep that in perspective.
Yeah, they've passed out 653 negative tests in Clark County.
Good.
110 positive. And interesting to note about the cases in Clark County, 47 of the 110, they are between the ages of 40 and 60.
And that's the part that I think is scary, is you're seeing more and more younger people that are ending up on ventilators. And it's not just, you know, this idea that, oh, it's only the sick and the old.
Well, no, wait a minute. I want to be clear. 47 of the 110 are not on ventilators.
They're just
They're
sick.
Just between the ages of 40 and 60. And there are only 38 cases in people 60 and over.
Yes.
That's just the Clark County numbers.
But you're seeing more and more from a nationwide, you're hearing more cases of people that are younger and supposedly don't have underlying health problems that are ending up very sick in the hospital or on ventilators. So while still the vast majority of people that are dying from this or getting really sick are still old or people with compromised immune systems, you know, just because you're 35 or 40 doesn't mean that you're immune. Doesn't mean that you're going to get the, oh, well, it's no big deal.
Somebody asks on the fan text line, can you answer me why we keep getting new cases if we are all in quarantine?
Well, one, we're not all in quarantine, first and foremost. Two, who knows how long, there's a 14-day incubation period.
And tests take a while to come back.
Exactly. So,
well, it was already out there.
Yeah.
That's what people are saying. It's like,
it's been roaming around for a while.
Yeah. It's just, we're doing a good job of, at least in Oregon, so far, we're doing a pretty good job, I think, of taking the quarantine thing seriously.
Yeah.
And it's minimized the cases, but there's still going to be more. And by the way, it's going to get worse.
Yes.
There are more coming. It's just, you just don't want to be like New York City where it's just, I mean, it just
overwhelming the system.
Dude, it just, how many cases they have there now? 80,000 or something?
It's something ridiculous to where I think.
Like the vast majority of all COVID cases in the U.S. are in New York.
Well, and New York is now third or fourth, just New York alone. It's third or fourth most in the world, just on their own, let alone in the United States.
12 out of 846 staff tested positive at OHSU. So I don't know whether that's good or bad, but 12 out of 846 staff, they tested all their staff. And they said that the hospital currently has 21 COVID-19 patients.
New York now, we're looking at well over 70,000 confirmed cases and over 1,200 dead. And Cuomo says that the worst is still to come. So, yeah, New York,
they're bracing.
New York is getting slammed.
Yeah, the thing you don't want is to have, that's just community spread.
Yep. And there's just not enough resources.
There's just nothing you can do about it. You just try to manage. And that's where they're in manage mode out there. They brought in a bunch. Did you see those reports that they brought in like trailers, like 45 trailers to store the bodies?
Yeah. And there's photos. I mean, it's morbid, but I saw
it's
it on.
It's horrible.
They're floating around out there and they give you a warning, but there's video and there's photos of those trailers and, you know, they're stacking bodies in it. Well, in a lot of other countries, they're digging mass graves.
I know. So that's why we need to continue to take this seriously. So you don't want to become that.
Exactly.
Right now, we're doing well, but that doesn't mean step outside and breathe on somebody. That means stay in.
Yeah.
We got this if we just stay in. A new modeling... I'm stuck. New modeling bit? New modeling research?
A new modeling model?
A new modeling model?
There you go.
A new model.
A new model from the University of Washington. When will Oregon peak and how many will die in the U.S.? We'll tell you what that says. Coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, what up? 453. We were talking about COVID-19 and the global pandemic that is on our hands. And, you know, well, a lot of people are taking shots at New York City. I don't mean like here. I just mean in general.
Yeah.
About how, well, of course, it's, you know, it's a cesspool and, you know, this. I mean, I think there's some truth to the fact that, you know, like Italy got hit so hard.
Yeah.
Because those people are all on top of each other over there, and it's the same with New York City.
Sure.
You know, like you were talking about Wyoming. Hell, you can go 6 miles and not see the next person.
Yeah, there's more, what is it?
So,
there's more animals, there's more cattle in Wyoming than there are people. Like, it's if you've ever been to Wyoming, it's not the same thing.
It's not a shock that the travel from China, well, first of all, New York City is a big hub.
Yeah.
So the travel from China and then the subway and just everybody's just kind of all... There's just all on top of each other in New York City. It's just a condensed world over there. That's, you know, this, something will spread
quicker,
you know, quicker than
easier to transmit. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, Italy as well.
And that's what they're saying, is that this could become more of a regional thing as this goes on than a nationwide thing. It's just, it's going to pop up in
next up,
in
they
different
say,
spots.
Is Detroit.
Detroit, New Orleans.
Is showing signs, and they're getting this based all on their modeling, all on the numbers. Detroit is showing signs, the South, because a lot of people down there have not been taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And Florida.
Yeah, New Orleans and Florida.
Which is the South, but... So here is the analysis from researchers at the University of Washington. And they predict 81,000 people in the U.S. will die from coronavirus over the next 4 months.
Which is, I mean, it's a lot.
So if you think that we are almost through this, realize that we only have, what, like 2,700 deaths now?
And the vast
They're
majority of them.
81,000 over the next 4 months.
Yeah, the vast majority of them being in New York. New York has over 1,200 deaths. But yeah, you get that number. And, you know, again, you've seen everything from 100,000 to 200,000. And I guess it's better than the worst case scenario, which where they were saying if we did nothing was like 1.2 to 2 million. But you're still dealing with, I mean, the number that I keep seeing thrown around out there by the experts, what, 100,000 seems to be one that everyone keeps throwing out. And,
well, yeah, but now they're moving the goalposts. Like, yeah. It's like before it was like, oh, yeah, we got 15 cases and it'll all be down to zero before too long.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, 100,000 deaths would be a great victory.
Yeah, well, anywhere from 100,000 to 200,000 because no one could see this coming.
Holy
okay.
crap. Anyway, they're saying that 81,000 people in the U.S. will die over the next 4 months. Hospitals and other care facilities across the country could be overwhelmed with patients as soon as the second week of April. And then in Oregon, the model predicts hospital resource use will peak on April 24th.
Yeah, so we are nowhere near the apex of this. But again, to try to put it in, you know, if you want to try to put a little positive spin on it, they... A bad flu season can be 40,000 people. And, you know, if you end up with 80,000, obviously that's double and that's horrific. But at the same time, you know, let's thank God that what we're doing at least appears to be having some sort of effect on this. And we're not talking about a million people, which is a number which that was thrown out at one point. They said that if we did nothing, we could see a million plus people die.
So they're saying there will be a shortage of 9 intensive care unit beds in Oregon. However, overall beds available in the state exceed the projected need by more than 1,000, which is why that report came out last week in Oregonian.
We're able to handle
that. It looks like if we stay the course here, we'll be able to handle the peak of this. Now, in Washington, the outlook is a little bit more concerning. They have roughly 1,429 Washingtonians will die from COVID by early August, according to the prediction. The deaths are projected to peak at 27 per day on April 16th.
Yeah. And how much of that is up north in Seattle versus Clark? I haven't seen any of that. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's just a state figure.
Well, it's just a statewide, so it's tough because obviously the people that we're talking to, you know, where I live, Clark County, it's odd because obviously we are part of Washington State, but it also feels like in some ways we're very much detached from, I mean, you're 15 minutes from Portland, 10 minutes, and you're 3 hours from Seattle.
Yeah. And yeah, you're exactly right.
It's odd. So when I hear those.
Yeah, it's almost like they should include the Clark County numbers.
Into Portland.
Yeah.
I will say, although that's obviously terrible, to hear it's going to peak in 2 weeks.
You're okay with that?
Well, it just makes it feel better than peaking in like 3 months.
Sure.
No question.
Exactly.
Because it's like, then we'll start hopefully going back
down. If it peaks in a couple weeks, is there a chance that we can pull out of this or at least start to pull out of it in a month?
Yeah. Basically, April's been canceled.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll be through the peak in May.
And on the downhill, and then hopefully you can start opening some stuff back up.
And then on ICU beds in Washington, they're saying that they will fall short. Their projections show them short by nearly 100 ICU beds, which is quite concerning.
Well, like I was talking to a friend of mine in the medical field, and just we're talking about Clark County. I was shocked. The ventilator thing, right? That's obviously the big one that everyone's saying, hey, we need more ventilators. I was shocked to learn how few there are in Clark County. That if there was a major uptick and Clark County was swamped, boy, there we are really, 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 really low. That it's just not something that the Southwest Washington hospitals really have to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I heard a doctor say you can turn any bed into an ICU bed, but the differentiating factor is the ventilator.
Yeah,
you have to have a ventilator for those, and that's the big.
Well, I know, and I don't know how much. Like, I can't, you know, because there's a lot of this, hey, you know, don't say anything. But I know one hospital in Southwest Washington, 51.
Wait, don't say anything, but you're going to say something?
Well, you know, you get not specifics, but there is a hospital that has 51.
Ventilators.
That's it.
Yeah. And so they're saying,
cross your fingers that it doesn't swamp and all of a sudden in Clark County you have this huge uptick.
I think that's all we got for you on In the News. Now, there were major economic relief efforts released here in Portland. And we'll get to those tomorrow on In the News, but we'll move on to your sports news for the day. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. The NCAA did vote on the waiver for all spring sport athletes to gain an extra year of eligibility, and we'll tell you how they voted coming up next. Also, some sad sports news coming out of Seattle yesterday, which we'll get you caught up on. It is 5 o'clock. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.